Welcome to the Health Coaching Biz Shift, where we uncover the best strategies to transform your health coaching business to attract your soulmate clients, make your money, and leave your mark in this world. I'm glad you're joining us for this week-long virtual Health Biz Retreat. We'll meet 10 of the kindest and smartest experts on marketing strategies, social media, and mindset. My name is Christiane Moore. I'm your host, and I'm also niching and marketing strategy mentor for health and personal development coaches. Our guest today is Ilana Jankowitz. Based in Zurich, Switzerland, Ilana is a certified mindset money coach, NLP practitioner, and a happily married mom of two young adult children who are now both pursuing their life's passions. Ilana is a founder of Mindful Money Coaching, helping women in business unblock their money and increase their magician archetype. She believes we don't have business problems, but personal money issues that show up in our business and work. Ilana utilizes many fascinating tools and exercises in her coaching. Each one is designed to support her clients with the inner work required to understand how their money stories were created. With this newfound knowledge, they are able to heal and transform their stories and bring abundance, clarity, and joy into their lives and work. Having undergone her own money coaching transformation, Ilana is a coach that really walks her talk in every way. She's extremely passionate about her work and her clients and loves nothing more than to go above and beyond in supporting her ongoing transformation. Welcome, Ilana.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So, Ilana, as a money mindset coach, you know about all the layers the topic money provides. Yet in our daily life, we often think it's quite simple. So if I had more money, my worries would be gone and I'd be happy. Nearly like in a fairy tale where the prince comes, they marry, and they're living happily after. Can you walk us through the different layers we have to consider when striving for more money?
What you've just described is one of our archetypes, which we talk about, the innocent archetype, waiting for this prince to come and rescue them. They're either waiting for the prince or they're waiting for the bill fairy that's going to come and pay the bills at the end of the month. So a lot of women live in denial. A lot of women are believing that somehow they will fix it. Somehow they will figure out how things work. And a lot of the time they can't. They can't do it on their own. A lot of them have also got a victim mentality that they take on. So there's many different ways that they are not actually facing reality in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's interesting. So to have something that can grow in a good direction, we have to have a clean ground so that we as a person in our business can thrive on. How do we do that? How do we build that clean ground?
Basically, when we are small children, when we are babies, up until a certain age, we inherit all our parents' behaviors, patterns, and beliefs. And a lot of these patterns and beliefs don't serve us. Our parents were born in a different time to us. But we take on these thoughts into our subconscious and these beliefs. And it plays over and over in our subconscious like a movie. So you can imagine these pictures going over and over. There is no clean slate when you've got thoughts that are telling you, I'll never make money one day. I can't do what I love. I have to work so hard. Poor people will stay poor. Rich people will stay rich. Now, all these things that our parents have told us are in our subconscious. And the only way, as you talk about having a clean slate, is figuring out what these behaviors are, where did they come from, and how do they serve us? Because a lot of us were not taught good money habits growing up. We weren't taught it at school, and sometimes our parents had their own money issues, so they didn't teach us, give us a good example.
Yeah, so it's really being aware of our own thoughts and becoming aware of where we are basically are detrimental to ourselves because we have all these belief patterns that we can't break through. But what is the next step? What are we doing then?
What I do when I'm working with somebody, it's very difficult for just any person to find what the triggers are or the threads, as we call it, to find the behavior, the emotions that are behind what they're doing. And that is something that I do, that I'm trained to do, is to find out you're doing something. Everything we do, an action, we do it because of an emotion. Sometimes you don't know why you're doing certain things. You don't know why you went and ate that ice cream when you're trying to lose weight, or you don't know why you spent money when you have credit card debt. What I do is try and find out what was the emotion that was going on and take them right back to childhood. When you figure out what is driving your behavior, which archetypes are driving your behavior, we can then take control of it. We can get in front of that situation, where if you don't get in front of it, it literally controls you.
So you're disconnecting the behavior and the emotion.
That's right.
Yeah. So one thing that I think is also a driver of having problems in this area is being perfect and wanting to be perfect and having the feeling that we need to be perfect. What is your stance on that?
I always say that we live in an imperfect world. So why try and be perfect in an imperfect world? Nothing is perfect. Often when somebody is a perfectionist, it comes from, they will procrastinate. Procrastination comes from fear. So either they're fearful for something, something is holding them back. So they rather not do anything because it's not going to be perfect. And we find out what that fear is. Where's that fear? And then we unpack a lot of things. Or they're trying to be perfect for somebody. They feel there's an expectation that they have. And sometimes it's to a parent.
Yeah.
So it's really working out where is the fear? What is the fear about? And a lot of the time, this procrastination can keep somebody very, very stuck.
The point that we need to, or that we want to please to our parents, that is something that is not easily overcome, I suppose. Can you say a little bit about that?
We have this real desire to please somebody else. It could be a parent, it could be a partner, it could be a child, it could be anybody, but a lot of the time it's parent. You don't want to let them down. You're trying to find, sometimes that comes from conditional love because you feel your parents might have compared you to your brothers and saying, you weren't really good at school, or you weren't good at mathematics, your brothers are so good, or your cousins are so good. So you've been compared. A lot of parents do that without even realizing it. And what that does is it knocks your confidence, it knocks your self-esteem. So you're trying continuously to prove, I am good enough. So you're doing things, when you do something, you want it to be perfect.
Is this a process you can do on your own, or do you think it's helpful if you have somebody at your side that basically guides you through? Because just telling myself that I'm good enough, you know, only telling myself won't convince me necessarily. So what is a good tip to proceed with a topic that I feel I have in that area?
That makes complete sense, because often you don't see it in you. It's very easy to see it in somebody else. But when the person has got the issue, they don't see it. I get people to write certain things and I will look at it, and straight away I can see where the threads are. There's a thread running through with a certain pattern, and I will say to them, what came up for you? What could you see anything that meant anything to you? And they say, they're not really sure.
Yeah.
I think you see it with a trained eye, that you can see it as a therapist or as a coach. You can actually figure out, where are these behaviors coming from? Why is the person having such a high, one of the archetypes is a martyr. Who are they feeling, who's knocked their self-esteem? Why is the self-esteem so low?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of women and men have got a business idea, or somebody becomes a coach, or they want to do their business. It's one thing, you've got the certificate now, but how do you take it into actually making money in your business? And a lot of them struggle there because there are so many issues. And a lot of the time it is confidence, it's clarity, it's perfectionism, it's an imposter complex that's just keeping them really small, or boundaries that they don't know how to set. There's many, many things that can be there. And I think if people could figure it out themselves, there wouldn't be therapists or coaches. We wouldn't need them.
Yeah. I think you have a point there. One thing that I heard from you when you first talked was how you described fear. And you said, fear translates to false evidence appearing real. And I really like that. So can you explain that a little bit more?
A lot of the time we feel fear, but it's not real. You know, it's the same thing when you're watching a movie and there's a very, very scary part and the guy's chasing the woman with a knife and you've got your head under the blanket. your subconscious doesn't know the difference between that being real. It's a picture that it's seen. Is that real or isn't it real? You reacting like it's real. A lot of the time, the fear seems real. When you actually confront it, like, give you another example. A lot of women don't look in their bank accounts because they're petrified that there isn't enough money. But when sometimes when they look, they actually realize, oh, wow, I've actually got enough money. A lot of the time, the fear is bigger in our heads than it actually is. That's why I say a lot of the time it's false. We need to be able to look at the fear in its eyes and see exactly what is there, because a lot of the time it's not true. It's something that when you are afraid of something and you leave it and you don't deal with it, it gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah, so just face it and try to look at it in an objective way and then see what you really have to do as an action.
Or get somebody with you that can actually be with you and say, okay, this is what I'm afraid of. You know, sometimes when you speak to somebody, and I know myself, when I work with my coach or when my clients work with me, they'll tell me something they're scared of. When you actually start breaking it down, there's actually nothing really there. It's just a confidence thing.
Yeah. I also think that many people think they are afraid of not succeeding, but it can also be the other way around. And that's normally they're not aware of that. They're actually fearful of being successful because all the things that then come, like growing your business and suddenly you have too many clients. How would I cater to all these clients? How would I onboard a VA and all these things? So often we are not even aware if it's one side or the other. Have you made that experience too?
Continuously. This week I had somebody that was afraid to be successful because her parents struggled and she didn't even realize it. She didn't even realize what the fear was. And when I said to her, but your parents would be proud of you, she said, but is it fair? They struggled their lives. They did without to pay for her and her sister. And now that she's successful, she is playing it down. She's hiding it. She's not speaking about it. She's not proud of it. She's not living it. So a lot of the time, yes, 100%, there is a fear around being too successful. One of my clients was planning to write a book a few years ago. And she said to me, but what happens if I write this book and I become as famous as J.K. Rowling? I said, when we get to that point, we will deal with it. The book never, and I don't think it even went off the Amazon shelf. A lot of the time, the fear is not real. If the fear, if you get to a point where your business becomes so big and so successful, then you hire people and you get a team of people that support you. That is the easy part.
Plus, so often we are really trying to work in the hypothesis. So this might happen. What am I doing then? So we're taking care or trying to take care of things that might never happen. So it just takes away so much energy and so much of our time for ideas that are pretty much futile.
So exactly.
It really helps to step back and say, what is my situation now? And maybe think, you have to think ahead. That's not the point, but not think ahead years and years and what might have happened, but trying to follow a plan. I suppose this is also what you're doing with your clients, setting up plans and milestones. So how do I
always imagine? always, but you've actually said two things there: not thinking so much about the future, like 10 years, and living more in the now and actually enjoying the process and learning from it. But at the same time, by growing a business, you need to know, where are you working towards? What are you working towards? Yesterday I did a workshop in Zurich and we were 14 ladies, I think there were 14 of us, and we literally worked on where the business is now for each individual person and how, where they want to go. Once you figure out where you want to go, you can see what are the steps that can get you there, who can help you get there, and what do I need to get there? But you first have to know where you're going. It's like a sat nav in a car. You know, you can't just get in and go and expect to, you will arrive somewhere, but maybe not at the destination. So you need to know where you want to go in your business and then figure out, okay, this is what I want. This is the figure I want to have in my business per month or per year or whatever. How am I going to get there? What do I have to do to get there? Because there's steps.
Yeah. And it's about a conscious decision that they have to make.
Exactly. That's the fun part. That's the fun part. I love it.
Yeah, well, it's inspirational. If you set your goal, and it, you know, it should be a little bit, I think, between not too scary, but a little bit scary, so that you get the excitement of, oh, this is something I really have to work on, but now I'm in the process. And yeah, it's also, it will reveal itself what to do.
Exactly.
But at first, without a goal, you're going nowhere. You might wander around for eternity. Yeah, that's, I like that. So when we talk about health coaches, most of them, they're really starting their business because they have a heartfelt desire to help people. And then they might struggle with the idea of taking money for their services, because how could I charge lots of money to people who really need my help? I think you have some wonderful ideas on that. So can you please share with us what you recommend to people who are struggling with charging money for something that is helping other people?
I think when people have an issue with charging money, it's because of their own self-worth. And a lot of the time, a lot of these, I work with a lot of coaches. I would say at the moment, probably 80% of my clients are coaches. So in many different forms, lots of health coaches as well, life coaches, healers, different type of coaches. When they are struggling to charge, it's because they self-worth is low, their confidence is low. So that is something that I work on with them to try and build that up, to let them realize that they are actually valued and that their service that they're given is of value. When they realize it is of value, they can put a price tag to it and they can charge the clients.
Yeah, and it's also thinking about a bigger picture, not just the immediate outcome you're working on with your, let's say, somebody who has constant migraines. So how much is it really worth when that person gets a migraine-free or pretty migraine-free life? What
exactly
can they do? So thinking along these lines might make it easier to see the value that you're providing.
Exactly. And also just also realizing that there is enough money in this world. There's plenty money. There's plenty to go around. So by you doing something of value, there's every reason why there's enough to pay you, that this person has enough money to pay you. They're paying for something else. They're paying for the medication, or they're paying for something else that they're not getting if they don't fix that issue.
Yeah. That also takes away the idea that if I'm having fun, I can't charge for that. It's also obsolete when you see the value of the services that you're providing, because that's another thing that I heard. Well, it's like my hobby. How could I charge for that? I don't know if you, I suppose you heard that too.
I have heard that, and I have sort of come across that, which is actually quite, sometimes I see the opposite. I see women having lots of fun because they are charging, because they are feel of value. They know they're providing, so they're charging, and they're actually really enjoying it. I think when they're not charging, they're not having fun. Because you need money in your business. You need money. If you're working hard, you need money to be able to provide for yourself. I always believe pay yourself first. You need to be able to pay for the things that you need in your business. If it is the software, the different things that you're using, the calendar, the accounting package, whatever you're using, you need to be able to pay for those things. For somebody who's hosting your website, you need to have money in your business. You cannot work for free. And if you're working for free, it's not a business. I always say that if you are not making money in your business, it's a hobby. If you want it to be a business, then call it a business. Don't call it a hobby. And look for opportunities to make money. Money is important. At the end of the day, money is important. Somebody asked me the other day, how do you speak about money for like 8 hours a day, whatever, you know, isn't it like, you know, you feel bad about it? I said, why would I feel bad about helping people make money? Money gives people opportunities and it gives them freedom.
Yeah.
It opens doors to opportunities in their lives and other people's lives as well. When you're making money, your children get the benefits, your family get the benefit, and it can go even further. So making money is an energy, and it flows when you allow it to flow, when you don't block it. And we block it with our mindset by believing I don't deserve it, it's dirty, you know, and all the money myths that go with it. And there's probably about, I've got a list of hundreds of money myths. There's so many.
And many of them are interlinked, but then in the end, they are variations too. So I sometimes I can feel myself something popping up and I think, well, where did I get that idea from? So yeah, we have to catch ourselves when we think that. The question is, how good can we rail ourselves in? So do you have a tip of when you get that idea that you can, you know, counteract immediately?
For instance, if you have to say, if a thought comes into your head, money is bad, you can change it into saying something positive and actually have it as an affirmation. So if, for instance, you're saying, I don't have enough money, then you can say, I have an abundance of money. And maybe it's an affirmation that you need to tell yourself. Maybe you need to make it as a screensaver on your phone, that every time you pick up your phone, you say, I have an abundance of money. Because there is enough money for everybody.
Yeah. So it's realize what you're telling yourself, the stories that you're telling yourself, turning them around into positive, and then using them as affirmations.
Exactly, as mantras, as affirmations. Tell yourself something positive. You know, if you're telling a child all the time, you're stupid, you're stupid, you're stupid, yeah, eventually the child's going to believe I'm stupid. And it's the same thing with everything else, with money. Tell yourself there's an abundance, there's more than enough, and there will be more than enough. It's only when you start having fear and you start blocking it that there isn't enough.
Yeah, so there are a few, let's say, tripping points that you can trip up on the whole money topic. And as we have seen, our own money story is essential in order to unblock our money mastery. And that's why I'm really happy that you came with a helpful resource, which is a quiz that helps identify which archetype is controlling our life and money. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So basically, there's 8 different archetypes, and the archetypes drive our behavior. So for instance, if we have had a loss in finances, somebody's gambled money away, or you've been through a divorce, or whatever your issue is, you could display the victim mentality where you feel it's somebody else's fault, or you're living in the past with thinking, when I had this money, how things were. That can hold you back. That can block you from moving forward because you've got resentment. You've got unforgiveness. There's hurt. Mm-hmm. When you deal with those issues, you're able to move forward. Now, there are 8 different archetypes. And unless you want me to, you know, they're quite long to go into all the different archetypes. But what I'm happy to do is if somebody goes and does the quiz will tell them what's going on in their money situation, but it also tells you what's going on in the rest of their lives, because money is just a symptom. It touches all areas of our lives. For instance, if one of the archetypes are low, where it should be higher, and I can see the person's not making money, it's because something else is going on, something else is manifesting in their lives. So I'm able to give direction and help do a reading of what's going on from them taking the money quiz. There's a free money quiz on my website, and I can then say exactly what is going on in, as I said, from the archetype scores. And what I'm giving away is a 30-minute consultation with myself, free consultation, where I will try and direct them, maybe give a couple of tips, suggest a couple of, you know, different things that could help immediately. Because a lot of the time, when you've seen it through your own eyes and you've seen it the same stuff over and over, you get used to what you've seen. When somebody else sees your situation, it's like, well, why don't you just do this? Or why don't, you know, it's sometimes easier for somebody else to see it.
Yeah. So the outside perspective is always easier because we're not emotionally attached. And that makes it so clear in our eyes that what the other one is doing wrong, and we're never seeing it in ourselves.
No.
Unfortunately. Oh, wonderful. That is actually an awesome offer that you're making there, Ilana. And for our listeners, if you want to dig deeper and uncover your archetype, then head over to the quiz, which is linked underneath the interview. Thanks again, Ilana. It was a pleasure to have you here and get all your little gold nuggets about money mindset. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your time.